John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
And again, Monday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody had a great weekend as we get geared up for another week, another hot week here in Nashville. Yeah, it's looking like every day could be like a record-setting day. Of course, I think they said a cold front is coming in. At some point, we will dip down below 90. So a cold front may be coming to give us a little relief, for highs will only be 88 and 89.
Will that be before or after Halloween?
We don't know.
Well, October is what, Tuesday?
Or tomorrow. Yeah, Tuesday. That's right. How you doing?
No.
30 days has September.
Yeah, so tomorrow's October?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is Tuesday.
Yeah. We're going in October. 97 today? Hello. Yeah.
See, I've been used to this kind of heat the last few days, but I could, walk out in a big body of water and cool off.
Yeah. Well, you want it when you go to the beach.
Exactly.
You kind of want it to be hot.
Exactly.
That's what you're looking for when you're at the beach.
Good to be back, though.
Good to have you back. Darren McFarlane, that's me. Willie Donick.
Hello.
That's him.
Chase McAbabe.
Nashville, what's up?
He's back. Max Herz behind the glass.
Hi, Max.
Morning, guys. Chase, I missed you.
Aw. Miss
how about
you too.
That? How about that? Group hug. Group everybody. Hug. Well, how was everybody's weekend? What did we make of the weekend? Other than the obvious, what we just stated. It was hot.
I spent a long time yesterday outside in three different places. So I was at a little youth baseball, 14-year-olds. My son's team played five games in the heat at Eagleville High School, way out there, but it was rough.
It's down way past me.
But then I went to Preds Fest yesterday. I was there from pretty much start to finish. I was so impressed with the Predators fans. I couldn't believe how many people
went out there. How did you get five baseball games in and make Preds Fest?
I didn't go to all five. I went to the first. I went to two on Saturday and one on
Sunday.
Boy,
that is incredible scheduling.
Yeah, that would have been nice. But I got to Preds Fest. I'm thinking everybody's going to be inside, right? Why wouldn't you just go? Because you had the ability to go inside.
Right.
But there were tons of people outside listening to the bands and getting autographs and meet and greeting at the various food trucks and stuff. It was awesome.
Cool to see all the alums there.
A lot of alums there.
Marty Erat.
Marty Erat coming back. Thomas Vokoun, Cliff Ronning.
Is it Erat or Erat?
It's always going to be Erat for me, even though for one game it was Erat.
One game.
It
lasted for one game.
Another in the file of pronunciations, guys right. Coming over, what do you do? Mm-hmm. Do you Americanize? Do you not Americanize? All of these.
That was just good to see. When I found out he was going to be there, I was really, really happy to hear that. Because, he asked to be traded, and we know the whole deal with the Forsberg trade. And so it was good to see him come back. And now he starts the next chapter of his career. Because he just officially retired, right? I mean, maybe a year or so ago. He hadn't been retired that long. Didn't he play in the KHL for a year or something? So good to see Marty back in Smashville.
We had a, you're like this, Darren, a skills competition.
Skills on the ice?
He was not. It was a bunch of guys from the local
men's
league.
How can you have
a
skills competition without Skillsy?
That's a good question.
You know?
I would have loved to have seen Skillsy go through the drills. They had fastest skater and hardest shot, and it had all that stuff. It was hysterical. The guys from the local men's league, some were really good, and others were just pluggers, that just loved to play. All ages. It was great. People were actually watching.
Yeah. They unveiled their Winter Classic logo.
Yeah, the shoulder logo.
It's the first time they've done anything like that in what, about 7-8 years?
I think so, yeah.
Like 2010 or 11? Something like
that? Well, whatever year that the gold jersey became the prime jersey. Was that 2012?
Maybe. Maybe 12.
Yeah, that seems right. When they played, wasn't it when they played Phoenix, played the Coyotes in the second round? And yeah, that was. Yeah, that was the first 11, year.
The 11-12 season.
That was the first year with the gold.
Year with the gold.
Yeah. Radulov came back and all that.
I asked you if Kyle Connor would be, because we knew Line A had been signed on Friday's show. I asked you if Kyle Connor would be signed by the weekend and Rantanen would be signed by the weekend. I believe your answer was yes, and indeed that happened. Yep. Both in the mix.
The dominoes fell, so everybody signed now.
Yep. What's the deal with Big Buff?
He's in a different category. He's signed.
Well, I understand that, but I mean, he's 7.6 million. I get that, but where is he? What's his deal?
I don't think it's status unchanged.
Wow.
Fair to say?
Yeah. But what does that mean?
Such a weird deal.
What does that mean? Like, their season begins. By the way, the NHL kicks off regular season Wednesday. Preds kick off their season Thursday.
I told you the analogy is a little bit of Andrew Luck. He's had some concussions. He's had some ankle injuries. And I think his will to play is being tested. And I think that's what he's let them know. And they said, just take your time.
Hmm. So some of the things that we were kind of hoping would play out in the division didn't play out. Maybe Connor.
Yeah.
Doesn't sign, isn't available. Line A gets traded. Buffalo retires.
They still Rantanen's
a holdout. Or, you know, he's not signed, but all that stuff happened.
Now the question is, how quick will those guys be ready to come in and ratchet up and be up to speed?
Yep. Now the other piece, roster news. There's still one more roster spot for the Predators to figure out, but something that did happen over the weekend is Tenorti and Freddie Gaudreau put on waivers, passed through, sent to Milwaukee. And I believe a couple weeks ago when we were at Fort Ice, I was kind of bringing this up. Like, there's going to be some changes on this roster. And I think there is the first mm-hmm. one. Daniel Carr is going to make this roster. And the other one, I think, is to find out.
Is Daniel Carr going to make the roster? Don't know yet.
I think so.
I think that's why
I've been bringing it up the whole time, because it was about him making this roster.
Well, I think
still got to make another cut.
Well, I know, but I also believe there's another. I mean, Santini and Irwin is what it comes down to.
Well,
they've kept eight defensemen in the past.
I know. I don't believe they're going to, though. I just really don't. I haven't felt that way for most of the offseason.
I think you're right. I agree with you, but they also – I'm wondering why they waited. They're still waiting. Wonder if there's a trade possible for one of these guys. I don't know, but it's got to be a rough feeling to know that you're sitting there going, did I have it made it? Have I not made it?
Yeah.
And some of these guys, it's every year. The good thing is, I think, they didn't lose Freddie Gaudreau. I was concerned that in waiving him, they would lose him to another team. So now, as they say, it's not where you start, it's where you finish. We'll see if he ends up being back in the plans at some point. Or is this just the beginning of him being passed over by other people in the organization that are better, like Pitlick and Tolvanen and guys like that?
I mean, I feel like the next cut is going to be a defenseman. I think they're going away from carrying eight. They'll carry seven just because they need the depth at forward. Mika Salamaki is somebody they really, really like. I don't see him going anywhere. Daniel Carr, I don't see him going anywhere. We know Rocco has earned his spot. So I feel like that it's going to be a defenseman. I think it's definitely logical to say it's Santini or Irwin. And
Not logical. It's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those two.
If it's going to be seven, it's going to be one or the other.
Yeah, and so
I have said all along, which is why I brought up that conversation, I felt like there were about two roster spots that were going to be different. And I still feel that way. I hate it, but I have had a sneaky suspicion that Daniel Carr was going to make this roster, that they really liked him. And, of course, you still have to go out there and you have to earn it. I wouldn't say he's been lights out, right? I mean, he's been good, but I wouldn't say – I think there's more for him, right? I mean, we've had a nice conversation with him last week. We'll be out at Centennial tomorrow. But I think remember, these are my words last week. I said, I think Daniel Carr is going to make this roster because they know – they believe that he is not going to pass through waivers, that he'll get claimed, and they don't want to take that chance. And I still feel like that played a factor in this. And the other one is, I just have a feeling because he was in that PK Subban trade, I just feel like Santini is going to make it. I do. And so when I was bringing this stuff up, that's kind of how I envisioned it kind of playing out. I even thought maybe, it depended on how it played out in preseason and camp, could be even three. Three people that we were seeing on the roster before. I said, but likely two. But there's going to be some new – I just felt like it was not going to be just Matt Duchene and that's it. I felt like somebody's, plural, was just, they were going to win spots.
Well, they were glowing about Daniel Carr when they signed him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We, of course, were all caught up in the Matt Duchene news on that day, but it was like, oh, by the way, we also signed Daniel Carr. And I remember being at David Poyle's press conference, and he made it a point to keep bringing him up, that he was somebody they really, really liked, and he felt like he had a good chance to make this roster – and help this team. And we've seen it in training camp that they like him. And I think now it's, okay, you signed him. You have to see what he's got. And that's what they're going to do. So I think he makes it. And then to your point on the Santini being a part of the trade and you want to see what he has, I think there's some truth to that. But I also look at whoever the defenseman is that stays, that's your seventh guy. Because Yannick Weber, you go back to when he finally got back in the lineup after injury in the playoffs, he looked good. And I think he's had a pretty good camp as well. So Yannick Weber, healthy, is somebody that can really make that third pairing better. I think they go with him and Hamuse. But I'm with you on those two and Carr especially.
I think, honestly, Jeremy Davies is the guy that has the bigger upside, right? They probably think he's a guy that's going to factor into this long term more than Santini. Is that fair to say? I think just right now he's just not ready, but I think overall they like him. They like him a lot.
Very different type of defenseman, but at the same time, I agree. I think Davies has some of those, how should I say, that the modern elements that you look for in a defenseman, that ability to move the puck, that vision, mobility. He's not big and strong. Santini's more of that rugged, big, strong guy. But yes, he's further along in the development. So I think you guys are right on it. We'll be watching the waiver wire today. There are some teams that are already down to the 22. But yeah, my gut feeling is they want to see what Carr can do. You know, he has had more offensive production. I think the question is going to be, and there's going to be two extra forwards, right, if they keep Carr and they keep Salamaki. At the beginning, before guys start showing the wear and tear, a couple of these guys might not play for a couple of weeks, right? Knock on wood. I mean, you hope that you don't have to shake the lineup up a whole lot. But can Carr help you offensively and do the steady defensive things you need if he's on the fourth line? Because he's going to play it. That's really where he's going to fit, right? He's going to be a fourth liner. So what do you want from your fourth line? That ends up being a question you ask when you put together your lines for a night. Mika Salamaki is a guy that is probably not going to score a goal for you, but nothing bad's going to happen when he's on the ice. He can go out against top players and be really steady. He can kill penalties. He can do a lot of things to help you win. It's just not going to be scoring.
All right, we'll come back. We'll switch gears. Quite a day for the Titans down in Atlanta against the Falcons. And you do wonder, not that anybody cares here, but like, how hot is the seat for Dan Quinn? Yikes, that team has got lots of talent, and they don't look like it's there. And boy, what an atmosphere it was at that beautiful stadium. What a home crowd they had. We'll talk to Teron Davenport next. He was down there. That was a little bit of sarcasm thrown in there. He is the NFL Nation reporter for the Titans and, of course, talking with TD right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We talk to him next.
Derrick Henry on formation. And fake to him over the middle. It is caught. That's the rookie, A.J. Brown. He's still going. Brown showing the wheels to the 10 to the 5. And he's in for the touchdown. An electrifying catch and run, 55 yards to get Tennessee in front.
They were playing in Atlanta, right? That sounded like people cheering for A.J. Brown running to the house. That was... That was not here, right? That was not a home game.
That is correct.
Okay.
It was a road game.
I just was making sure that was a road game. Listen
to
that.
In a shiny
highlight.
New stadium.
Beautiful stadium. Let's talk.
A lot of
TV.
Red. I saw a lot of red.
Well, there were red seats.
What color are the seats?
Yeah. Seats. Tron Davenport is on the line with us. TD, what's up?
Hey, what's going on?
How electric was that atmosphere?
Listen, I got to tip my cap to the Titans fans. They came out. I saw them on Saturday. I saw them Sunday. You heard them Sunday. And shout out to the Titans fans. Man, you guys did a great job of coming out and supporting your team, and they treated you to a thrilling victory.
Yeah, how about those Falcons fans? Hello? Anyone here? 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 There seemed to be an echo when you asked for the Falcons fans to stand up.
Yeah, and then towards the end, after Kenny McCarroll looped in and he and Jarrell Casey got that that fourth down stop, next thing you know, they started leaving. So it was an evacuation situation, but no emergency.
They have been desperately seeking an A.J. Brown-type receiver for a good while. I mean, quite honestly. Yeah. I know it's still very early on, and I don't want to get too excited because we've been burned by that before, getting really excited about a guy at the beginning of his career, and then we have to harken back on, remember that game? You know, and we don't want to do that. We want to be talking about A.J. Brown in this light all the time. So with that being said, I mean, he's had two really nice road games, right, where he has really shined, the Cleveland game and now this one. What do you see through four games from the rookie receiver?
I'm going to start with this, and this is something that I said on talking with TD leading up to the draft period. I said A.J. Brown was the best yak receiver in this draft class, and you're seeing it. The 250-plus yard receptions that he had, one for the touchdown that you saw yesterday, that dude has yak ability, man. He's big, he's strong, he's fast, he's tough to tackle. And, I mean, like I told him after the game, man, he had his get-somewhere shoes on, and he was able to outrun the coverage, and nobody could catch him. And that's what you see from him. But then you also see confidence and strength at the catching point, whereas on that touchdown he had yesterday, he ran through the catch. You don't run through that catch and accelerate through it on a perfect pass for Mariota unless you are very, very secure in your ability to catch the football, and that's what he is. And he really showed it, man. It's impressive. I love just his attitude and even just the way he approaches things. Again, I had him on talk with TD. I had a feeling the Titans were going to get him, so I asked him about developing a relationship with the quarterback, and he said it's just like developing a relationship with your old lady. So yesterday after the game, I asked him if he and Marcus are in the engagement phase, and he laughed and he said, yes, sir.
You know, speaking of Marcus, I am thoroughly convinced he's just like my golf game, and that's – not that much of a compliment, unfortunately.
He's not that bad.
Well,
your golf game
wait a minute,
is way worse.
I have days where it looked like yesterday.
Oh, whatever.
No,
man.
I do. Don't tell me whatever. That. When's the last time you played golf with me?
I've never seen that.
The problem is the follow-up, Willie. I can come off a round of golf and be like, holy crap, man, I've gotten really good.
Really?
Like, how did this happen? Like, I was really good today. And then the very next time I go out there, I'm like, holy crap. I'm awful. I hate this game. Why do I play it? I am very much a roller coaster ride. And it's not always going to it's not going to, I know we all could sit here and be like, "Why doesn't he do this every week?" If he could, he would, right? I mean, so this is the roller coaster ride we've been on now in year 5. And this is what everybody wishes it could look like every week, but gosh, if he could just be somewhere in between, right? Somewhere in between the bad, and this, if he could do just somewhere in between consistently for an entire season, I think it would look way better. I think this is the part that is frustrating for Titans fans, because when you see a game like this, and we've seen them before, it's not like this is the first time Mariota has looked really, really good. I mean, that first half, Teron, I dare I say it, maybe the best half we've ever seen in his career here. I mean, he was that good.
And that's the thing. He just can't stay consistent. And that's what's so maddening, you know, as a fan, I'm sure it is, as someone who's analyzing and reporting on his play. And for me, it is, It just he needs to be more consistent. But you're right. That first half, that dude was on schedule, right? He hit. Look at the Corey Davis touchdown that he threw. I actually wrote about it. It's coming out soon on ESPN.com. But he hit that third step in his drop, and that ball was out. And it was on the money. Deep outbreaking route, allow Corey Davis to catch it, gather himself, and score. And that's just as much Marcus Mariota as it was Corey Davis. And those are the type of things that he does, man. The teardrop to A.J. Brown on a fade, you know, and again, we talked about how he led A.J. Brown for the long touchdown. And that's what you want to see from Mariota. And even just maneuvering within the pocket. I mean, he did an excellent job. He was very decisive. And I know Arthur Smith has been questioned, but I tell you what, you have to tip your cap to him as well, because he dialed up plays that forced Marcus to be a more decisive quarterback. It kept him from getting sacked. And, of course, you give the offensive line credit as well. But overall, I think that offense was humming. And that's what you want to see from Marcus, just a rhythm and like I said, being on schedule.
But if I could be a little bit of a Debbie Downer, there are two halves in a football game, right? There's a first half and a second half. Where was that first half in the second half?
What was really wrong with the second half?
I thought they played not to lose, and I don't think you can. You can in the NFL. No. You don't do that. You don't take your foot off the gas in the NFL. What are you talking about? We see comebacks all the time. You don't take your foot off the gas. I felt like the second half they were playing not to lose, rather than they were dominating the game. Then just keep dominating the game.
I disagree, but let's hear what Teron has to say.
Yeah, no, I'm going to agree. You have to keep your pedal to the metal, you know what I mean? Because anytime a team has Julio Jones and Matt Ryan and Ridley and Hooper, I mean, that's an outstanding group of guys with Freeman as well. So you need to score as many points as possible. But it seemed like they made some adjustments, right? That soft zone that they were using and mixing in different looks from 5-2 to 3-4 to everything else, to sub-package, you know, nickel. It wasn't there as much as it was in the first half. So, I mean, yeah, I think Marcus, his second half performance was a little bit worse, but I think you have to credit Dan Quinn, you know, on the defense for making the adjustments. Because in the beginning, you know, that's all zone. You look at Corey Davis on the 3rd and 15, where he just ran a simple, basic seam route and caught the ball and got upfield for the first down. They were too loose. So it looked like they kind of tightened, I almost said it tightened up. Looked like they kind of, you know, put the reins on the receivers in the second half.
They had the ball four times in the second half, four possessions. They punted once on the first one. They had a second drive that they had a penalty that kind of killed the drive. Then they had a seven-play drive where they should not have gone for it on 4th and 1. They should have had points on that, so that should have put the game away. Then their last possession, they had an 11-play drive where they ran the ball. I thought that was a classic Eddie George type of playing the scoreboard. You have the lead, grind, run the clock, don't turn the ball over, make a big mistake. It's hard to dominate. This is not an offense that's going to roll up 45 to 50 points. So I don't know what your expectation level was.
My expectations were to keep your foot on the gas, and it didn't look like they had their foot on the gas. Well, looked like they were playing not to lose.
I think you're getting kind of picky about this offense. This offense is not.
Their version of putting the foot on the gas was kind of running the ball late.
Yes. I mean, they ran the ball late. They ran it effectively.
In the fourth quarter.
They were effective. Well, two out of the four
third drive. Ask about the third drive. It's just.
The third drive, they should have scored.
I don't understand. I mean, we've talked about this before. I don't understand. What is it going to take for him to take his player hat off and put a coach hat on?
But now we're in a different category now. You're talking about playing not to lose. Or you're talking about going into a shell, keep your foot on the gas. But the last two of the four drives they had were very effective drives. They had the ball four times. Two of them were good. Should have come away with points in one. The second one was a classic four-minute drill, grind the clock out with the scoreboards. I did not have a problem with in the second half, unless you're a total perfectionist and you think every single possession should result in what it looked like in the first half. That's just not how the league works.
I wanted to see more points. I think you were in a position.
They should have had three more points.
They should have had at least three more points, but you got to move the ball downfield and score. And, you know, take any will away from Atlanta that was left, and I don't think they did that.
I really think they did up until that fourth and one, you know, where they didn't convert, and that's when you saw the Falcons starting to get life, and even being in the stadium, that's when you start to feel a little bit of energy from the few Falcons fans that were in there. But I think in the second half, you know, up until that point, I think they did the job, and then that defense turned around and shut it down, you know, and did their thing. So it's, yeah, I mean, you like to see 30 to 40 points, but that's, like Willie said, that's not what this team is. That's not what this offense does.
Now, wait a minute. What side are you on? You've made a case for both sides. Whose side are you on?
Hey, man, I'm a politician.
Are you running for office?
I'm just speaking what I feel was right. I think they did a good job. But again, like I said, you want to see more points, but you have to understand what you're working with. And that's not the team that's going to roll up a lot of points. So you could win it, but it's not likely to happen.
He's running for the 8th District. He's Teron Davenport. He needs your vote. He wants your vote. Vote for him. No. More with TD on the other side as we talk about the big win down in Atlanta against the Falcons here on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
We are talking with TD, Teron Davenport, ESPN 102.5 The Game, Darren, Donick, and Chase. Teron Davenport with ESPN. So, Teron, here's a big stat from the game. I thought this was interesting in how the Titans try to win. The term that Mike Vrabel is using a lot, the complementary football. How about this? The average drive start. Titans average starting on the 33-yard line. Decent field position. Average drive start for the Falcons. Their own 16. They started in the second half on the 25, the 5, the 10, the 12, and the 2. So the special teams, that's a... So say what you will about the offense, but they grinded out the clock some. They put the Falcons in a position where they had to drive the entire field, and the defense made the plays when they had to. That's a winning formula if they can replicate it.
Without a doubt, and that's actually what my article that's posting is exactly about. And, you know, Brett Kern, he pinned the Falcons back within the 20, you know, inside the 25 times. You know, and like you mentioned, inside the 10 twice. That dude is a tremendous punter, and he's a huge part of that team, especially what the defense is able to do. So you got to tip your cap to him also. And special teams, you know, it's one-third of the phase, and they were outstanding in all three. So that's the winning formula, right? And then you also have to factor in zero turnovers while they were able to gain a turnover as well.
It's how they wanted to try to beat the Jaguars, but when they fell into the hole that they did, that made it very tough to do that. So, Teron, let me throw that. One of the big issues with the Jags, maybe the biggest, was the offensive line. How did you think that Nate Davis did? It looked like he held his own. Of course, this was a different front, different defense he was playing against, but I thought that was a step forward for the team.
Without a doubt, man. And Nate Davis, he showed what a lot of us that watched him, you know, throughout the draft process thought. It's just as far as raw talent. Now, there are some things that still have to be dialed in, but you can say that for any rookie. But when you look at just his ability to sink and just drop his anchor and just kind of like serve as a doorstop and not let a guy go any further, man, he did that really well. He played 40 snaps, which is impressive for a guy who, you know, hadn't played that much since. But the Senior Bowl, as Coach Vrabel said, or you could even go further back into December, you know, in their last game. Nate Davis, I think, should be the guard going forward. He should be the starter. But, you know, at the same time, Jamil Douglas did a good job when he was there, because we didn't say either one of their names except for when they were rotating in and out. So that's a good start.
I thought on the category of game planning, the chess match, what's our game plan? What's your game plan? What matchups are we trying to exploit? I thought the Titans won on both sides of the ball. I thought it was an excellent game plan by Dean Pease to try to make it very tough for Julio Jones to have a big game. They sort of gave up some catches to the tight end Hooper, but I thought in sort of the bend but don't break, but don't let Jones beat you, take away the running game. They did so many of the check marks that I think they wanted to check going into the game, and I thought offensively they had sort of the same thing. They got ahead with some really good looks that they got their wideouts. They spread the ball around, and then they ran to close the door. I thought that was exactly what they were looking for. So I thought the chess match went to the Titans in this one.
Yeah, especially on defense. It was a total team effort, and they did a really good job against the run as well. Julio, typically he's going to get his, but they were physical with him, and they managed to match up with him well. And I think he only had 52 yards or something like that. So it turned out the number 11, that everybody expected to shine didn't, but the number 11 that no one talked about did. I thought it was cool that they swapped jerseys. But, yeah, I mean, both sides of the ball, they did an outstanding job. And give credit to Arthur Smith, Mike Vrabel, and DPs and that whole staff, man. They did a tremendous job yesterday.
I thought Rashawn Evans was a force yesterday. That when you're talking about a first-round pick that you want to see have a big impact on a game, I thought he did that yesterday in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, Rashawn Evans, the thing that I really like about him is his sideline-to-sideline pursuit. And there were some times where, he tracked down the ball carrier. He's a force, so you got to give him credit, too. And that's the thing about this defense. They've made it to where they're pretty strong in all three phases. And, when you look at the first level of the defense, right, and then the second level and the third level, the secondary, everything is legit. And they have some serious playmakers on all levels of that defense.
Teron Davenport is here with us, of course, talking with TD, chasing TD and ESPN Titans NFL Nation reporter. And sticking with the defense, Teron, because you and I have had several conversations about Adoree Jackson. I thought he had a pretty good game yesterday. There was a couple of big breakups that he had. It seems like he was comfortable. What did you make of Adoree?
Yeah, he was comfortable, but I saw an Adoree Jackson that had a little bit of an edge. You look at that early pass breakup he had against Calvin Ridley, and he made sure Ridley knew about it. And that was a good thing to see from a guy who typically has a more relaxed and reserved approach, almost robotic-like approach to things. And he showed some emotion yesterday, so maybe there's a fire that's lit underneath him after the mistakes that happened in the first three games. Now maybe there's something that he could build on and start to show why he was selected in the first round.
Now, we all remember last year, they signed Malcolm Butler, pay him a lot of money. In the first half of the season, it was rough for him. And he, admitted this offseason that just learning the Dean Pease defense took some time. Now we saw, the second half of the season last year, he looked good. He's had a good start to the season. I was watching him yesterday, and I know he had a couple of mistakes, but he was all over the field, and you saw Malcolm Butler quite a bit.
Yeah, and he's another one. He's kind of the opposite of Adoree, whereas he plays with so much emotion and fire every single week. And maybe that's rubbing off on Adoree. But, yeah, I mean, you look at the one time Dean Pease set him on the blitz, and there was a turnover on down, so he went and got the sack. And I think Butler is a guy that has just settled in, and he's become a legit part of that secondary. And it's why I put that secondary against a lot of secondaries, because of the pieces that they have, like Butler, and we didn't touch on the safeties. Logan Ryan is one of the top nickel guys, so they're in really good shape.
Do you feel like this defense as a whole is starting to really get into their stride where they can cover for some of the offense's mistakes and lack of production by them? Are they starting to get to that point where, okay, the defense is going to go win some games?
I think they're at that point. I'll say at the very least, they're at the point where, for the most part, the Titans are always going to be in games because of that defense. They're going to keep it close. Giving up only 10 points to that Falcons offense, that's something to be proud of. And, you had the one drive that answered A.J. Brown's touchdown, but I think as long as they can continue to get pressure and impact the quarterback and get turnovers, that's the difference, in my opinion, from last year to this year. They're getting teams to force the ball, to turn the ball over. And that's something that's a really good thing, and that will always help the offense.
I want to go back to something that you guys were talking about earlier with the receivers. And Corey Davis is emerging, you know, had a good game. A.J. Brown, of course, emerging. But, you know, those were his top two targets yesterday. And through the first four games, the ball has been spread around a little bit, but I haven't seen as much of Delanie Walker. Do you think that this offense is shifting away from going to the tight end as much, or is it still just kind of a week-to-week thing in whatever targets are available?
Well, Delanie didn't play as much yesterday. And then also, it's just one of those things where I think it's going to be week-to-week. There are going to be days where Delanie is going to be the lead receiver and be that guy, but this week it wasn't. I just think more consistently, it looks like it's going to be A.J. Brown and Corey Davis. And after seeing yesterday, I mean, they made a concerted effort to get Davis the football. So I think in doing that, that may have cost some targets, along with just the fact that, like I said, Delanie wasn't, you know, on the field as much as he normally is. So that definitely had a factor.
All right, good stuff. Now we're going to see how they respond against the Bills. First team to double digits wins? First team to 10? I mean, seriously, yeah, I what's the over-under? Chase, what is it? It's got to be low. It's got to be, what, 30? Low? I'm going to say 30. I'm going to say 36. 34 to 36.
38 and a half.
38 and a half. That's actually higher than, okay, I would take the under. I'll take the under on that.
Yeah, I would take that too. It may be first team to 10 points wins. We'll see what happens. Both defenses are really good, but I think the one thing the Titans have in their favor is that Josh Allen. He showed his true colors yesterday, and he's a guy that will turn that football over. So that could be a big time factor for them.
Is he even going to play?
To a Carroll, what's that?
I said, is he even going to play? We don't even know.
Listen, if he does play, then that's the situation. Of course, we don't know at this point, but I would think they would try to get him out here. But I mean, we'll see what happens.
I think their backup is Doug Flutie, so they may have to prepare for both.
Rob Johnson.
Rob Johnson, there's another good one. Teron, good stuff. Appreciate it as always. I know Mike Vrabel will talk at 12:30 this afternoon. We will carry that as well. We will let everybody listen to that. You have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, will do. And, hey, man, the Polar Bear, 53 home runs. He set the rookie record. I had to get my Mets gig in.
There you go. Had to squeeze that in there, didn't you?
86 and 76 after being 11 games under 500.
He was awesome. Is it?
The Polar Bear is a player.
No doubt about it. 53
bombs.
When do you get, when's your next game?
Oh, April, wow. Whatever.
Wow. Okay. All right. That was Chase. You can send all those messages to Chase.
Go Braves.
Teron, thanks for doing this. We'll be listening on Friday night.
All right, for sure. Yeah, for real Fridays this week.
For real Fridays. Right. I like that. Teron Davenport with ESPN.com, NFL Nation reporter for the Titans, talking with TD and Chase Friday night, 6 to 8, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back to wrap up the first hour next. Wow. You know what? I'm going to put myself in this boat. But for some reason, other than Coach Willie, we've all been a little mean-spirited today. We should be in a good mood. Chase throws daggers to your boy Pete and to Ron, to both of you.
Yeah.
Max is back there throwing daggers after a big win, and Mariota was fantastic. And
in the first half.
You know, I was.
You guys have got to get over.
I should have been
half.
A little.
It's not a dagger. It's just up and down.
Well, yeah, but that's
with Lilo and Stitch.
And here I am questioning the coach and questioning the second half when they dominated a Falcons team. So, other than Coach Willie with his whistle on, everything is beautiful.
Oh, listen. They won.
I haven't done that in a while. Come on, I was due for that.
Yeah, I've missed
it's
that.
Been a
you
while.
Have not done that since I have been.
I know
been
we've
on the
been.
Show.
We've been, you know, Switzerland. We've been very neutral. No real daggers until today. Coming off a big weekend, at second annual Preds Fest. Had the Titans dominating the Falcons. Vandy wins. Dominating. They get a win. Should be in good spirits. Instead, we're throwing daggers around.
Yeah, well, you guys throw the daggers.
You do a good job of dodging.
I'm really surprised that you guys feel that way about the second half. I just think that that's how you win
games. I'm honestly surprised. Well, no, I shouldn't be. I shouldn't be surprised that you're surprised, but I'm surprised that you feel that way. I think most people would feel like they took their foot off the gas. Look,
they didn't take their foot off the gas.
Willie,
they
it is easy
football.
To sit here today in a victory. I get it. Anybody who's on what you're saying side, you could say, why would you question my – look, he's got to believe in his – he believes in his guys he's going for. He's trying to put the dagger in him. He's trying to nail in the coffin. All those cliches, bull. You put the 3 points on, you make it a three-possession game, and call it a day.
What, you're changing the subject again?
No,
that's
I'm
not
coming
what you're
back to
up.
It. These things, you should. A lot of people say, why are you questioning? Why are you talking about that today? It's a win. They dominated the Falcons. I get it. And the same thing with the second half. They dominated them. Give it credit to the defense. But the reason I'm bringing up both of those scenarios, if this thing would have gotten hairy, or heaven forbid they lose, or it goes to overtime, would you still have the same stance? Well, or is it easier today because everything worked out and the defense saved their bacon?
The scoreboard dictates what you do. When you have a 24-7 lead, you don't start flinging it all over the place and stop the clock and risk turning the ball over. You try to run clock. You play field position. And you have a very good defense that was making stops. Now, if Atlanta comes down and scores a touchdown on the first drive of the second half, then your game plan is going to change. But they gave the ball to Derrick Henry 18 times in the second half. That's mm-hmm. how you win. You run when you win. You're ahead. You use the bulldozer. How many games did you see? It's ironic. He had 27 carries for 100 yards. That's an Eddie George day
there.
I've seen the best Titans teams. That's how they win games.
Yep.
You don't have to score 45.
I didn't
they
say that.
Winning football. Now,
I didn't say they needed to score 45.
I 100% agree with you that that was a bad decision for a second straight
week.
To go for it on fourth and one from the because if you go up 27-10, it's over.
It's over.
The way your
it's
defense
in the fourth
is
quarter. It's over.
But that's completely different than saying they didn't keep their foot on the gas. I thought that they were in command of that game the whole time. Now, they gave ground, right? Atlanta, they've got talented players. They gave ground up until they got into their territory, and then they closed down. They stopped them on downs. They had two humongous fourth and one stops.
The defense played very, very well.
Sure.
Yesterday.
But now, so the offense complements the defense, right? You have a great punter that pinned them down from the 10 or inside the 10 three times in the second half. That's how you win.
Brett Kern is ridiculous.
He's awesome.
He's ridiculous.
So you use that to win games. Now, if Matt Ryan makes a great play to Julio Jones and all of a sudden the score is, let's say, 24-13 or 24-17, then that changes how you have to go about it offensively. But they never got close, so why not just keep giving
because
it to Derrick
Ryan,
Henry?
Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, Austin Hooper, Sanu, that offense should be scoring all. It should be scoring everywhere.
But they didn't.
It's prolific offense.
Right, but they didn't.
But that's what I'm saying. How can you ease up on an offense
they
that's
didn't.
Capable of going crazy? This is not Buffalo's offense. This is not
your best
an
way
offense
of winning.
We don't look at Jacksonville. It's like Tampa yesterday. They had to keep their foot on the gas. They gave up 40 and still won.
I don't understand how everybody wants to talk about Derrick Henry. Give him the ball. Give him the ball. That was the opportunity. That's a game yesterday where that's what you do, and that's what they did. And he got the tough yards. If he busts one, his numbers would have been off the chart. That was the one thing that was missing.
What,
he
what
didn't
is
have
about
the
three
135 yard run or something
well,
like
three,
that.
3.7
yeah.
average.
But he had 5 yards, 6 yards. He was moving the pile forward. That was a great game for him. He was not dancing around. Remember the whole thing that we were talking about last year? He's tiptoeing around. He was hitting the holes. He was taking the yards that were there, keeping the clock running. That's how you win. So I do not accept that they were taking the foot off the gas. I'm not.
Well, the problem I
why would you take chances throwing the ball down the field with a guy
because
that
it was
has been
working in the first
prone.
It was we just
right.
said
it got you the lead.
Was that the best half you've ever seen Mariota play since
it's
he's
right
been
up
here?
There.
Okay.
It's right up there.
Why would you stop that if it's working and he's giving you the best half we've ever seen? So you just say, just hand the ball off. We've just seen the best half we've ever seen since you've been in Nashville. So let's run the ball and let's not even attempt passes in the second half. Really?
Do you know how you shut
people up?
That's
how you win football games.
You know how you shut the haters up? The people like me that are saying, hey, a win's a win.
You're a hater?
There's questions about Marcus Mariota still? Yes. I mean, like, I've been honest about it.
If you question somebody, you're a hater?
That's what Twitter will call you.
Oh, wow.
So my point is, if you want to shut people up and you want to show that Marcus Mariota can be this guy, then why would you slow the Ferrari down? Let him go.
He's not a Ferrari.
But that's what you want him to be.
He is who he is. This is his fifth year. This is how you win games with this team. He is not a guy that's going to turn into Drew Brees.
When I see every drive.
This is not an offense that's designed like that.
When I see every drive in the second half end with a Kern punt or a turnover on downs, that concerns me. Yes, the defense did enough for them to win the game.
I'm sorry they didn't dominate for 60 minutes.
Would you admit today's game is different?
They need a domination.
Okay, we just referenced 20 years ago.
Not this team. Not the way this team is built.
Is the league different? Are the rules different? Is offense different today than you going back to circa Eddie George?
Yes.
Where you win games 13-10.
Yes, but it still works.
Why in today's game would you think, hey, we're good. Everything is good.
Did we ever come into this year? Have you guys ever one time this year come into this season and saying, this offense is going to be modern. It's going to be throw it 45 times. Let's score 45 points. No, they're not designed to do that.
But when it was working, why would you stop?
They have one of the best workhorse runners in the league when you have the lead. You gave it to him 18 times in the second half. That's a winning formula.
You just admitted.
It never got
you
close.
You admitted that Mariota, you're agreeing with me, it may have been the best half we've ever seen. So you then shut him down when he's having the best half of his career?
Yes, to win the game. And he did not all of a sudden become a brand new quarterback yesterday. He played
great. No, he did. He actually made passes and throws we've been waiting for, and it's year five.
He's had games, he's had games like that before.
No, he has, but not. Look, that was a half. I would have liked to have seen it the whole game.
That's why you don't shut him down, because he needed that confidence boost. That's why I'm with you, Darren.
He's making
throws we've all been waiting for his entire career. It was like, whoa. And he has had a couple of those games here and there. Yes, where we all come out on Monday like, okay, there it is. And then we all know what happens afterwards. So I'm just saying, why would you, when we're seeing the best we've ever seen possibly, just take that away? Just put that away? Put it in the closet? Shut the door?
You do what you have to do to win the game. You're not trying to sit there and change your quarterback.
It's easy to say that today in a win, and I get it. And I can't counter that because they won. And Atlanta didn't do anything. They couldn't score. But I'm telling you, the theme would have been different today if this thing would have gotten hairy or went to overtime or, heaven forbid, they lost.
Why are we talking about things that if this had happened, they didn't happen?
Because it could happen down the road.
Well, then they have to be
just
prepared
like these
to
decisions
keep moving
that we keep talking about with Mike Vrabel. At what point is he going to take his player hat off and act like a coach? And it's stuff. This is not cute anymore. It was cute early on. It's not cute. It's going to cost his team games. It already has.
I had no problem with anything in the game plan except the 4th-and-1 going for it. That was a bad decision.
It was an awful decision.
In that context.
Absolutely awful decision.
Yes. Awful. 100% agree.
He's 16 games in. Come on, man. Kick the field goal and get on with it. It's the fourth quarter. Stop it. You don't because a coach kicks a field goal in that spot doesn't mean you don't have faith in your offense. You don't trust your guys. Like I said, that's like a player's mentality.
Put points on the board.
That's a dagger call to me. You want a dagger, go send the kicker out there and put a dagger because that ends the day. Instead, you gave them life.
You're preaching to the choir here. I 100% agree with that. You're changing from your you wanted to keep going for the circus offense and wing it around all over the place in the second half.
I said I would like to have seen a little bit more. I didn't say
but they only
throw
had the ball
45
they only had
times.
They only had four possessions. They only had the ball four times in the second half. And two of them, they had very positive drives. One of them was a 7-play drive where they worked it down and got the 4th-and-1 on the 10-yard line instead of kicking the field goal, which they should have. They didn't. But that was a successful drive by the offense. And then the next time they got the ball, they had an 11-play drive to run the clock out. So they only had two drives that they didn't get anything, and they still got the ball around to midfield where Brett Kern punted them inside the 20 and sometimes inside the 10. So I don't know what you guys were looking for. They only had the four possessions in the second half.
All right, we'll come back and kick off the second hour with your phone calls. A lot of you want to weigh in. We will do that on the other side. 737-1025. You're listening to Darren, Donnick, and Chase, ESPN 1025, The Game.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.